that supplies it, it's the one that kept it, see, that puts it back in there.
Alright, let's do this.
Yes.
Not working!
My faithful human has signaled that the, we're gonna call this meeting to order, for, May 1st, 2024, Red Rock, Citizen Advisory Council. Can we, stand for pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Okay, we have a public comment period, for, items on this agenda. We have discussed after vote on, on these issues, on whatever agenda item you bring up, but you can, you afford some time to speak on this if you can't wait till when the item comes up. Anybody have anything like that? I guess not. So next, approval of minutes for the last meeting on March 27th. If anybody has a spend on this.
I have no changes, so I would move to approve, I would move to approve the meeting minutes of last meeting. Yeah, right.
I don't think we have a second.
Yeah, there are no.
So I'll approve,
Absolutely. Yep.
Even if more than a second, it is, okay, informational items, report from the Vegas Valley Water District.
No.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, approval of this agenda,
You must approve it because you were going.
I approve it.
Well, I second it.
Aye.
Alright, now we're on to, report from the Vegas Valley Water District about current well levels, and that's a Blue Diamond Water System conforms, including this graph that you sent me.
And the best graph, I doubt.
It's awesome. Jordan Bunker with the Water District. I'm going to give you the well updates, and then, you know, there were a few questions at last meeting, and it was unable to be there, so Aaron, let me know if those words, and I'll try to answer those as well, if that's okay with the board.
Yep.
The wells were then on April 22nd, the north well came in at 10.99 feet in the land surface, and the south well came in at 10.77. So that's about a little more than an inch above where we were last month, and still around, hovering around 10 feet higher than where we were this time, last year. I know you're pretty excited about the new charts in your packet, but I mean,
absolutely.
I read it into the record.
Oh, awesome. I think one of the questions last month, and I don't know if it was publicly or asked Aaron privately, but someone had asked for just a more historical look at what the well levels have been. So that top graph is pretty much a 30-year look at, the well levels. There is a gap between 98 and 04-ish. Not quite sure what happened there. I was trying to graduate high school at that time, so, we're obviously missing some data there.
But it looks like it's right around the median for the whole time, our current value.
That's a fair assessment. I do want you to take a look at the bottom chart. It's similar to the one that Jim Freer, who's our hydrologist, shared with us about a year ago when he came out here and gave that presentation. It also goes back about 30 years and shows the average annual precipitation each year. And if you look at those two graphs together, you can really see the strong correlation between the precipitation and the levels in the aquifer. And something else you'll notice on the bottom of the chart, and I think this will help to answer some of the moratorium questions that we've started to get after we've had a relatively good water year, is that over the past year, or over the past 30 years, Every time there's been a year or two of above average rainfall, it's immediately followed by at least 3 or 4 years of below average rainfall. And you can look at the graph above it and see kind of the pretty immediate impact that has on the well levels pretty consistently. So when we get the question, are you going to lift the moratorium now that the well levels are up after a good water year? Yes, they're up after a decent year, but we're not quite out of the woods, obviously, especially giving these 30-year trends that we're looking at. We have some more of these available if the people want to take a look at what we're talking about. That's my bad.
Was brought about lifting the moratorium. It wasn't necessarily like lifting it entirely, but there are like in question, there are three lots that just it's unfortunate that they are out of the meter. I mean, I know there's the potential that, I mean, at some point there could be more homes built here, but that's a long ways out. So I think it was more the question of what would it look like potentially giving those three lots the option to put their meters in?
And I wasn't aware of the three lot discussion.
Yes.
I can certainly take
that. It's okay, because there's one over here and then there's two over off of Lassen. And so the question wasn't like, oh, can we just lift it? And it's, you know, and we got all the water, we can, it was more like, especially the one over here, like there. In all actuality, he really probably should have been able to get his meter because the moratorium was actually put in effect after he had requested to do the parceling that he was trying to do, and then in turn had to come in and do a lot of finagling to get it, even though I don't even know that he's actively seeking the meter. But then there were two other properties that are just, you know, kind of, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the history on them, if they were notified, like, hey, you got to get this in, or if they even thought, you know, had that forward thinking to go, oh my gosh, I need to get that meter in before I might not ever be able to.
Yeah. And I even think there are a handful of other parcels besides this. I went through today with our planning folks, and there's like 18 or 19 properties around that really don't have a meter on the
here?
Yeah, in the Blue Diamond.
Is there that many?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like private.
Are you talking more like the surrounding bigger parcels, or?
There are a couple of the like surrounding bigger parcels, but there's also a handful of just tenants throughout.
Yeah.
The community. Okay. So I get what you're saying, but we also have to, you know.
I understand as well.
Make sure we're treating everybody equally, but these are all discussions that are ongoing at the water district.
Well, and we also are aware, I mean, at the end of the day, we have 150 acre feet. So, you know, I mean, there's only so much water we can ever use here, regardless of the regardless of the levels of the wells.
Right.
So,
just to remind you, 150 acre feet, that's the legal.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes not even that much.
Right.
When we're talking actual
drops
of water.
Yeah.
We'll say that that point was made extensively when the official moratorium is announced, as opposed to the unofficial moratorium that had existed before that. So,
Yeah, like I said, they're ongoing discussions. I'll definitely bring that back, and I appreciate
no
you pointing those two out to me.
Yeah.
And I might give you a call for some additional information.
Yeah, for sure. Because I'd be curious how many other, like, I probably should sit down and look at it from that, from your perspective as well, if there's more. Because it's hard to say, well, okay, three people can have it, and then all the other, you know, 15, sorry, you know.
Especially when there are parcels. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking of the home sites here, and I'm like, I can't come up with 18 in my mind, but then again, I haven't sat down and gone through a parcel map and went, okay, vacant, meter, no.
I gotta look because I can't think of.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there are parcels that would. Yeah.
People that are like, I guess we call them landlocked.
Yeah.
And parcels behind.
Yeah.
Has a street.
I think it's that one, you know, like the parking lot out here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I can tell. Yeah, okay.
I guess that's true, because all those up, some of those up there are considered double lots. And then, like, this one down here where the parking lot, it's just, it's its own parcel. I doubt it has a meter. Okay, yeah.
So the only other thing, I mean, I don't know, I guess I could probably do it, but you on it. Because, like, there's like a, this one here, which is from 2011 to 2017, that's the big crash.
Yeah.
Like the 2008 housing crisis.
Yeah.
So we had a recharge event, right, in 2010 and 11. I'm just wondering, for along those lines, as far as management, was our drawdown, did it follow the lack of precipitation, is where I'm kind of seeing, you know what I mean? Did we have a...
So you can kind of see, like, on here, you see how it's dropping, so you'll see this is where the pulse came in,
right,
brought it up. Then you had all these years where there was no water and it's constantly falling. And you see this pulse here.
Yeah.
That's what brought it back up.
So is it...
This is directly correlated right above.
Yeah. So usage probably doesn't impact
the... It's just a lack of water recharging the aquifer.
So that would be that would make a case for additional meters if we're not talking about usage impacting... The reservoir, I mean, the, yeah.
Sure, usage has an effect.
That's all I'm saying. This is like, you could probably look at the amount of precipitation and then figure out, okay, are we curtailing our drawdown, our usage, through water saving? Or, because I never got an answer. I mean, I've never had that answered, where I know we went from, like, I don't even know how many gallons the previous owner was using, but we don't use anything. I mean, our water bill is like $10 or something because we took everything out.
Yeah.
How does that impact if a bunch of, and I know a lot of people have escaped and...
I think the community made a lot of effort to like start conserving too. You can just see it and people pulling out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and I think
yeah.
there were a lot of people that were really, truly unaware of how much they were using. And I think once that was brought to light, too, it was like, oh, okay,
yeah.
there's lots of things I can do.
So, to your point, Bill,
yeah.
been trending down since about 2020.
Okay.
And there are a lot of people that realized that they were overwatering or just needed a little bit of extra education on proper watering. But there's also still a ton of people that...
Don't
have to
use a lot of water.
They're just using a lot of water.
There were some leak fixes. We did some service line replacements we did, or the distribution line replacements we did. All of that is helping to curb the use of water.
So we've saved thousands of gallons in curbing usage, right? Like you said, from 2012. Huh? Millions of gallons. Millions of gallons.
That's 5 years.
Well, that's good to hear. I look at her profits.
Yeah. We'll be doing more outreach on this in the future, but later on, probably in the fall or winter, we'll actually be incorporating conservation and water waste measures into New Diamond service rules. We're doing it with all of the rural systems that we operate. So we'll be doing that.
I think it was anywhere between 110 acre feet to 125 during that bill 2010-2017. And then, you figured that the plant will all of a sudden they cut back on their water use a couple of years ago.
They have.
So you have that in there. So there's and then the park got more efficient with the watering, and that cut the water. I mean,
the pool doesn't leak anymore.
Large now.
Yeah,
large now. So in the town of Blue Diamond, is there a what they do in the rest of the town? Do they have like that $5 where you get rid of for the lawn?
Yeah, so that is actually that's a Southern Nevada Water Authority program, and that is paid for by the residents in Valley that pay the Southern Nevada Water Authority extra charges and fees.
So that wouldn't work here?
It wouldn't work here with the Southern Nevada Water Authority fees, but something that we tried to do when we redid the water rates in 2020 was to set them as such that we would be able to slowly develop Blue Diamond's own kind of conservation fund to be able to fund maybe a couple of those projects every year. It's not going to be this enormous program, but it could certainly go a little bit ways into helping the community out in that regard. We're still trying to put our finger on exactly how much we have in that account, how much we built up and are able to use. That's something for
Michelle has a question.
Hey.
So I'm curious if there is an existing way to measure what, how much that allows us to retain in wells and moving forward. And if there is an existing one, is there a way we can work together to put some sort of way to measure that in place? So we can see basically if all those leaks and fixing all those leaks have an effect on water retention.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
we can look at and come up with like what non-revenue water is was before the main line set in place and what it is now after me. But again, just how the aquifer is water constantly flowing out of here. So you know, it doesn't help absolutely give me, I guess in a sense of water in here.
But still
waste.
We
have to
But we are, I mean, roughly, we are able to, in a way, meter the water that comes out of wells.
Yeah.
And then we also have what goes through you guys in these meters.
Right.
So we can kind of try to compare those numbers a little bit to see what the difference would be.
Right. And if as we expect, we didn't have, since we had too high, above average, if we expect the next one or two or three of them average, we may start to see, like, is the gap, right, of how much goes down.
Yeah.
Does that gap fill in any way, right? I think that would be an interesting place to track down that we have this huge investment in new pipeline.
True. Yeah. That's something you can help. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry. Someone back there.
She over here had a question.
Jake. Yeah, I did.
She also
had a sorry.
Yeah. I'm Sarah. I volunteer here at the library, so I don't live in Blue Diamond. I just was curious with this. So my question is, the aquifers, do they think the snowpack as well? Because I was thinking about, you just mentioned precipitation levels in 2023, good record snowfall about Charleston. Now, is that the same aquifer?
It's different aquifer.
Okay, so where is the aquifer? I guess for instead of curiosity,
it would be impossible for me to explain it to you.
Okay.
Saying it's
touching on the steps of Jim was.
Okay.
Okay. If you can get your hands on that presentation, that you could do some of those.
Oh, okay.
And that's essentially.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Somebody
can know of him. That's
that?
My dad's a hydrologist. That's why. Yeah.
Hydrologist
kids,
am I right?
Laura, did you?
So pretty much that goes back to only 2020, but if you look at the dotted
graph,
that's the same thing. That's going back to 94. Those are the well level. It's just a different type of graph.
Yeah. And then my only other question that I have is reclamation ponds. Where do those discharge?
Outside.
So they discharge. So is there a pipe that goes to the sewer system? And yeah. They just throw it. Okay. I didn't think that they were going to pump it back into our aquifer. That sounds gross. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yep.
Get out of here. Someone asked how many acre feet the water used, or the community used last year, 74.4 acre feet.
Okay.
And again, that's continuing. It's a gradual decline over the past 4 or 5 years, which is great.
So this was 2023?
Yeah, 2023. Yep. And then someone had asked about the lot, a private lot
that
was purchased by the water district. I had to investigate that a little bit. The board's aware we're trying to construct a new well, right? That will be solely dedicated to the community of New Diamond, be owned by the water division. We don't have to share it with anybody strictly for this community. We'll be able to operate it.
So they're gonna drill. Okay, I thought that was like Dyson.
So I'm about done.
Okay,
yeah.
So
hold on.
Obviously, to drill a well, you have to do lots of surface level data collection. You have to do drill monitor, you have to do monitoring, you have to bore monitoring wells, all these things. CertainTeed is allowing us to use the current land that we have that's in on their property around the existing wells to do that. But otherwise, Blue Diamond is kind of landlocked by both private property as well as conservation area. So we can't really use it. Can't really use any of that land. So we started looking inward. That seemed like a good property to be able to use at the very least for some examination to perhaps put a few holes in and test. So that's why the property is. And I think that's.
Will that property get a motor?
It has.
It's paying me.
You want to sell a meter? Bidding starts out.
So, any further questions for Jordan?
So you're saying the moratorium is lifted, so anybody can put it over?
No. Despite having a good year, one good year of hydrology, we're still not in a spot where it would be responsible to.
What if the natural stream?
Yeah. People are respecting the for sure, yeah. We what we want to see in a few years of sustained nice and high aquifer levels paired with a few more years of continued decrease in water use from the community. That's when we can start having discussions about.
Okay. So now if you guys can't drill and get any water, someone said that new reservoir that you're making on Blue Diamond Road. That if you can't find water here and sustain our town because we're living off of the gypsum wells, that they are going to pump that water up here.
So that's not in the plans as a permanent water source for the that was being discussed a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, as a potential supplemental water supply if the aquifer levels needed to go down and we needed a supplemental water source.
Okay.
It's nice to have that there so the community can get water and we can be pumping water up there until.
So if all fails, that is a bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Someday. Someday.
Someday.
Yeah.
Yes. Someday.
I don't know who said it, but somebody from the district, that because we're part of Southern Nevada Water Authority or the district, that we won't run dry. There's contingency plans, right? This is obviously our primary, but
yeah.
I think somebody said, even if we have to truck it in, we'll truck it in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. For every water system we run, we have safety contingency plan.
Okay.
We generally don't make those public as part of security reasons,
yeah.
But absolutely. Yeah. It includes near-term plans to get us through the next 30 days or a couple months to more longer-term plans, depending on what the needs. Absolutely.
It was in that one plan where it says it could be bottled water or whatever.
Yeah, they're bringing bottled water up here, trucking water up here, pumping water up in Cougar.
Yeah.
All of it.
Important because yes, they have a legal obligation to provide water to people who are currently getting it today in perpetuity. So if you lift that moratorium, you add people to that, it's not adding them for a year or 2 years, it's adding them forever.
Right.
And so that's why it's so, you know, precarious as to whether or not you lift the moratorium, then you have the legal obligation to provide it forever and ever.
I was going to say, wow, switch jobs.
What would it take to get rid of the door? Well, like, we don't know that. So if everybody has a
a green floor, and we're staying at 10, let's say 8 to 10, 8 to 12 feet, would that be in? I'm just putting that out there because...
Yeah, I think, and I can't, I'm not a hydrologist.
Right.
I would guess that they would say sustained 3 to 4 years of somewhere between 0 and 10 feet below land surface, so maybe even a little bit higher than where we're at now, and then a substantial decrease in water usage by the community.
Which would be good if it were 3 to 4 years where it stayed the same, which meant that getting good rainfall precipitation, and that would probably put it out 5 years before if it didn't get much rain before it went down, and that would give...
That's when we could start having some discussions.
Say, okay, it hits 15, 18 conservation things, so I'll give the required of that.
Would the water district be inclined to issue an actual standard about what that would be?
Well, I mean, there is an official resolution adopted by our board of directors, which is the county commission, that stipulates all of the requirements, and it stipulates what the moratorium is. And granted, the majority of it is legal mumbo jumbo, but there is a paragraph that talks about how the moratorium will be lifted. I don't have a copy for everybody, but I can email you guys a copy of the actual resolution if you'd like it. But what it says in the resolution is that the temporary moratorium will remain in effect until such time as the board determines that the viability of the Blue Diamond wells is no longer threatened by additional water commitments and meter size increases and expanded use, or until an alternative supply of water is available and the board determines that such supply is adequate to commit additional water commitments, meter size increases, and expanded uses within the Blue Diamond well system.
But there's no, it's like the board determines, but there's no standard for their determination.
There's no hard and fast trigger. That's correct. It's probably going to stay that
way. Right. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I apologize for taking so much time.
No, thank you.
Okay, so what's the intro? Is there something else?
Reports from BLM regarding upcoming budget meetings. I'd just like information
about the vision area, other updates about the public area.
So as you know, many of you know that we started a wildlife and borough gather in the Rumble Park area. We're currently planning to gather 112 wild horses and 70 wild burros. We did count lately that there are actually 191 burros out there, and there are 114 wild horses. So we started the gather just a couple days ago because the rain kind of slowed us down, but so far we've captured 54 wild horses. They're in good shape.
They're in good shape?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're healthy out here. And good springs, too.
Yeah.
So we did bait and water.
Yeah. And those are being brought to California, is that what?
So everything's going smoothly so far. So.
What are you going to do with them? How long, David?
They're going to a holding center in California, and eventually they'll be, if they meet the criteria, to be adopted out. They'll be looked
that's
at
by. Area. I have a friend that has purchased two so far, and she has a recipe.
I can help you with that.
Yeah.
I can help you with that. My very good friend has documented the herd out there for 20 years.
Oh.
And she knows the name of every single one in the lineage of every single one.
That's
so
cool.
She would be happy to work with your friend to find what would work with her herd. And if anybody else is interested, it's a gorgeous herd out there and they're pretty gentle. So.
So there
the horses or the burros?
Horses.
So there were,
burros.
Like, you have to have a certain amount of land, you know, on the right type of.
You have to have 6 foot high panels with
yeah,
the
you have to
have,
yeah. Awesome. Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, she wanted to get hold of the next
60
acres.
She's trying.
Let's
talk. I'll put her in touch with my friend.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So that was 24 stallions, 22 mares, and 8 foals.
Yep. They've had 18 foals just to this date out there. 18. That's why they have to be gathered. I know that they're overeating and overdrinking what's available for them because they're multiplying. I know, because one of the horses from Good Springs, sorry, I'm just picking over here.
Yeah.
One of the horses from Good Springs actually was sent to Germany and shows in horse competitions in Germany, and his name was America, and my friend named him America because she couldn't come up with a name for him, so it was America for the horse with no name, and now he lives in beautiful Palomino, lives in Germany.
Oh, we got much.
And if you want more information,
there
you go. Website, and you go to the Wild Horse and Boar Program, it'll talk about this particular gather and give you all the details about everything. Yeah. Okay, and then the La Madre Recreation Area Management Plan comment period has closed. So we'll be reviewing comments and working on a final NEPA decision for that. Thank you for anybody who provided comments. And then just speaking of La Madre, we concentrated the park rangers on the La Madre foothills to look at remote dump sites on the Red Rock Canyon National Conservation Area. We collected 2 pickup truck loads of large trash and 150 pounds of nails. Reminder, and I know you see that the electronic billboards are everywhere, but the La Top bicycle race is going to happen on Sunday. And so that means that the state route 159 is closed from 4 a.m. to 2 p.m.
In our town.
No.
They will be escorting from Arroyo. So if you need to come or go, Metro will be there, and in between riders, they will escort you in a minute.
So they all have some extra time because I know they were not.
It was the first
so
year.
I think this year, hopefully, it'll be a little better.
Yeah, there was definitely some lessons learned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. You can only go to Blue Diamond. And from Calico Basin, they're going to go out to Charleston.
Yeah, so we'll be out there to the BLM at the scenic ride monitoring. Let's see. Then one other thing, we've been doing volunteer projects around Calico Basin. We did a Sahara mustard removal. We helped remove 460 pounds of Sahara mustard along with the Girl Scouts.
And it's everywhere, but horses like to eat it.
It's a noxious weed. We've been busy with a lot of things. Oh, good.
Very satisfying to pulse
it off. Yeah, so
that's all I have. If anybody has any questions, I think. Yes.
Where'd you get stuck going to report?
I gotta practice, right? All right, thanks everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katrina.
Oh, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I wish I could see a better picture of it.
And just go outside.
Yeah. Just go outside.
All right, Mr. Chair.
So since Metro showed up, did I do in Metro? Okay, so we'd like to receive a report from Metro regarding activity and statistics in the past month and other area policing concerns.
Yes.
Okay, is there any chance of turning off this thing?
It's the fan over there.
Oh, it's warm in here. No. No.
Okay, yes, please go on. There's no question. It's you're gonna provide a report about activity and statistics in the past month and other areas of concern in the
vehicle or anything special that they're going to be keeping an eye on as well. But we're doing updates on that be as much as possible out here. Enforcement on 159, catching speeders and show presence everywhere we can possibly be. We know that there's actually security guard rolling around casual bases, but I don't know if you guys are aware of that. Oh, that was you?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm not security guard, but I'm like a frequent, like a
okay.
Gal goes.
I only saw one, but I'll do the half on the second. Okay.
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 Okay. Anything else for us?
We can try to get frequent in all the areas, but we cover it. We have a large area to cover unless anything else comes up somewhere else, but we try to be everywhere in presence throughout the day. And traffic and local service sometimes doesn't play nice.
Did you call after two? So are you guys, is this your, this is
the, it's the earth.
This is your area?
This is one part of it.
Of your
area,
so there was a call out. I
work late at night,
and sometimes I see things, and I
don't know. Yeah, if you call
911
or 311, OPS. 311,
yeah,
that's how it works. Yeah, because
I was just asking, saying, hey, you might want to check.
If you have any of the officer's phone number,
I'm in the area.
So if we get hold of anybody, we have everybody in the neighborhood that will let us know that if he's off or it's after he's shipped, he will pass us information to you. So we buy a check.
So you guys
don't have any. I don't have any car, but I can give you my phone. My card is tall. I have to get a report, but I can give you my phone. Or phone number. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else for my phone? No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, so theoretically, report from BLM law enforcement, but we don't have BLM law enforcement here this evening. So, and then we report from Clark County Services.
It's waiting all night for this. Let's do it. I want to hear what happens.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about the township. So, you know, about the top already. And then the only other thing I had is recently there was some vandalism in the alley behind your houses. I don't know what you call that alley. It's an alley. I didn't know if it had a name.
It's a what?
It's a what? So there's an alley behind Greg's house, and someone vandalized the trees back there to the point where they would die. So we had contractor come out and remove them so that if they fell, they wouldn't harm anybody.
And just so you know, if there's trees in the right-of-way and they're a problem, let us know. Please don't take it into your own hands. So it's a shame to lose.
Well.
Yeah. So it's, they're nice mature trees, so it's a shame to have lost those. Trees are precious in the desert, so. And that's the only other thing I had, unless you have questions for me. No, you don't. Thank you.
Last time I was meeting, you said you were working on some signs by the gun range for the campers.
We are still working on that. So I did, we had had a meeting and decided what we were going to do. And then I went to the DA and the DA said, oh no, you can't do that. So we're having to regroup and figure out how to handle it. Health District just went out and did a cleanup last week, 2 weeks ago. And the Health District tends to have more teeth than any other agency. And so now that we have them saying something needs to be done, I think we'll be able to really cut through the red tape and get something done. So it's not off the table. It's just a challenge.
Okay, because once you make them.
I don't think they will. I don't think they will because all the rest of this is BLM. So there's no question. The reason that happens there is because it's all chopped up between ownership and jurisdiction. And I think they know that. But once you get past there, it's all BLM. So there's no question of whose jurisdiction it is. So.
Okay. Well, because like we have the road down here, you did, somebody put the signs there, it said no off-roading, road closed. So I didn't know if you guys did come up with the signs. We can put one down there.
No, not yet.
When you get it.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, I know. And I honestly don't think it'll push them down here. Or if it does, it won't last very long because they could rent a space in the campground because there's space all the time available. They say that's too far. But they're, so just so you know, when we had the big powwow with Metro to talk about this, I went back back and forward and looked at the campground. There was only 3 days out of like 60 where there were no spaces available in the campground. That's not our problem. Just because you don't want to pay doesn't mean you get to break the law. So we just got to get it. It's just difficult when you have three different law enforcement agencies right there and three different owners of property that overlap. So.
Okay, and then we had a question on State Route 160, where the climbers were parking on the side of the road to climb up this mountain here, Fossil Mountain. I noticed someone cut the fence so they can climb over easier.
I have not heard anything about that.
Well, because it was discussed like about 3 months ago,
that
all them parking on the side of the road, what you guys got to do, and there's an average sometimes when the hikers want to climb that mountain. There's
it's gone much more popular, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and this is the double-edged sword of public roads, is you're allowed to park along a public road. And even if we do something about the parking on 159, it'd only be at night. You know, I think that would probably be a BLM issue. The parking, they're allowed to park. But the climbing and cutting, I think that's on BLM property. So you'd probably talk to them.
Yeah, because Jared knew spikes in there so they can climb up and down it, because that mountain's been really, it's a high popular thing there.
Yes, that's
so ask BLM and Katrina maybe should call down there. Okay, thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm.
What I did have a question about
too late.
I'm just saying, do you think the food cart issue has been, I know that the county adopted regulations for the food carts, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that's gonna take care of it? Okay.
No. Where are we going? Our hot dog guy has been cited 4 times, right? Yeah.
Really?
And he keeps coming.
He just really wants to hot dog.
$10 a piece. Yes. $10 per. Yes. Yes. I know. So yes, the regulations passed, which remember, we were required to do the regulations by the state. It wasn't something we asked to do. I don't know. I think people want to make money. and they're going to take opportunities to make money. So I know it's going to be, it's going to be an ongoing challenge. And I don't know that every sidewalk vendor knows that there's an ordinance now. You know, it's not like there's a network of sidewalk vendors you can send an email to, you know, I mean, no. So. Yeah, it's really expanded lately. And we just had one. Did you guys see when they were out at in Jean? Oh, in Jean. At in the off ramp, there's the road and the on ramp, and they were in the diamond or the rectangle of the on ramp of the 15. And so every person that would stop there would have to be like stopping either in the lane or just right there. You guys can see that one? It was crazy. Okay. And then we did have one. I never thought we'd have in Sandy Valley. We had one with the rodeo out there. So I just do. So
thank you for your honesty.
Megan, it's going to get me in trouble one of these
days. It looks like there's less stuff on that property.
Yes, the property on 160, they have been moving the stuff out. We have been in contact with them. They really decent people that got bad information. They were told you have commercial zoning, so you can do commercial stuff. And they aren't planners. They don't know about planning stuff. So they believed what they were told, so it was not malicious in any way.
Yeah.
We've been working with them. They are going to come in and get the right approvals and everything, and so we're giving them time to move it off. But, yeah.
I've missed a couple of weeks. But yeah, what was going on over there?
Right, it's a couple. He I don't. It's public information. You can look up who owns it. He is not a performance artist, a large public art person. He does like Burning Man kind of stuff.
I was gonna say it's also looking like bomb burner mutant vehicles.
Oh yeah, he does Burning Man stuff and like on the strip for, you know, if somebody wants a giant dragonfly, he can make a giant dragonfly. So so they found this property that was zoned H2, and H2 used to allow a whole bunch of stuff. And so they went out there and like, hey, we bought this property, so we're going to have our business there. So it didn't work out that way. So we're working with them, and we're going to work with them to try to get them into compliance. And so we gave them time to move everything off. If you have a vacant property without any approvals, you can't just store stuff on it. So we're giving them time, and I'm sure it's frustrating when you drive by every day and see the stuff there, but It is interesting. It is very interesting.
Started out in one car.
I know. And this is an example of, you know, when we have code enforcement violations, and sometimes you don't see stuff happening and you get frustrated. We want to give people a chance to make it right, especially when there was no malicious intent. They weren't trying to get one over on anybody. It just was miscommunication. So
sure, it's all up and up. But I work weird hours, so. Mm-hmm. I saw them moving all those containers at like late at night. Which, I mean, I do a lot of like strange work, but I wouldn't be moving around shipping containers.
They're nighttime kind of people, you know. And I think maybe they have friends that are doing it on their off hours, you know. So they've been, the day they got the citation, they contacted our office and said, "Oh no, what do we do?" So they've been good to work with.
Thank you, Megan.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Thank you. Okay. So let's see. Planning and zoning. We have WS-23-0856-Clochandra-L and Levy John Joseph. Waivers of development standards for the following setbacks, building separation, and parking in conjunction with an existing single-family residence on 0.2 acres in an RS 5.2. A residential single family 5.2 zone within Red Rock Design Overlay, generally located on the west side of Allegro Street, 75 feet south of Sage Place within Red Rock.
for possible action. Is there someone representing that? Yes.
Come on, come up here.
Come stand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
Okay. I just spoke to Dane from yesterday from the Planning Commission zoning place, who's I've been working with. And what it is now is I get to keep the garage and use it. And he told me we're just waiving a parking spot. That's what I've been told. And I paid for all the fees and everything to be done. So that's, you know, they've already waived the space between the house and the garage. They've already waived all that.
Okay, well, you know, why don't you talk about your application anyway? Because I don't have that information. So let's just, in case there's some miscommunication, why don't you just go ahead and talk about your application anyway?
What do you want me to, I don't know what, I've got so much paperwork, I don't know what.
Well, just tell the group what it is you're asking for. What's the thing, what are you asking for?
A waiver of the parking space in front of my garage. That's what I was told that needs to be done.
Right, but I'm saying, in case, I'm not sure that that's accurate. I don't know. I haven't talked to Dane, so I don't know. I'm saying, go over your whole application that was submitted, all the things that you were asking for, explain what your project is, so that you wouldn't have to come back if something changes.
Okay, so basically, I took the garage. I didn't realize that in front of your house, that's not your property. I didn't realize that. So I built the garage, and then I got my notice, and I went to the first place, I forget what it's called, and been working with the gentleman there, Troy, and then they sent me over to Dan's place, the commission zone. Okay, and what they said is you need to wait 20 feet from the garage to, okay. So then I've been waiting, and then last time I was here, and you guys said I wasn't on the agenda, so I called Dane, he said, oh, there's a new ordinance. So, and I went in there and he goes, you can keep the garage now. I said, I can keep it and I can use it. And he goes, yes, you asked him 8 times. And he goes, because they say one thing and, you know, you don't know what you're doing. So I said, I can use the garage. It's because I was turning it into a storage when they said you couldn't use it as a garage. I said, okay, whatever. Now they said you're under a new ordinance and now you can keep the garage. But what we're doing is we're waiving one of your parking spots in front of your garage because I guess there's an ordinance now that you only have 2 parking spots in front of your house. So that's what I was told I'm here to do, is just waive a parking spot.
Well, if that is the case, this has to be completely re-noticed. This says.
Right, because I'm sure the code didn't change to allow 0-foot setbacks where 20 feet is required. I'm just a little confused. So,
I mean, because essentially this is you didn't comply with the front yard setbacks. There was no building permit. And I'm going to be honest, if you would have come to us prior to building this with the site plan, there's no way we would have ever approved that. One, because it's not allowed. And I'm sure whoever built it for you had a little bit of knowledge that they needed to permit what they were doing. There's a reason auxiliary structures aren't allowed in your front yard. And so I guess, I would like to hear this, and I think you have a lot of neighbors here that are here, whether they're here in support or opposing it.
I hate to say that we should hold it, but I think we should hold it.
I think we need to hold it, just to make sure, because you were, as of this notice, you were definitely not here just waiving the fact that you just eliminated a parking stall.
I spoke to him yesterday. I said, I got the card, too, and he goes, no. He goes, I sent my notes to Megan, so you see, I'm told one thing, and the other thing happens, and he said, yeah. I said, okay, what are we doing? He says, you're just waiving a parking spot.
Well, I mean, you still have to address the fact that you built a garage in the front of your house without any permissions. You needed to come with your application and intent, and at that point you can request to waive it. I mean, at this point you just built what you wanted to build, and now it's like, okay, there's so many rules that have been broken with what has been built, from setbacks to code to parking stalls to just the zero lot line. And now it's like, okay, well, I built it. Now can I have it approved? And with that being said, I would be really curious what your adjacent neighbors think of it. And second, I just really think this sets a horrible precedence for our village to build whatever you want and then come in and ask for forgiveness later. There's a reason codes are in place. There's a reason auxiliary structures are not allowed, especially with separation off the house. And I keep having to go back to this thinking, like, if this was done properly and you would have brought in, like, hey, I want to try to do this, I think that there would have been a recommendation of denial right out the gate. Like, you needed to either figure out how to attach it to your home. The parking issue is a big one, too. There is hardly any parking on Allegro as it is. And so I guess that's where we need some clarification.
It's up to you guys. Well, but I would recommend holding it.
And the draft has denied. So that's where I'm getting confused.
Where staff would say.
Because this is a document from county staff, right?
Yeah.
And I just checked.
This lays it out. It says that why there is a denial, and it says staff recommendation denial. So that's, I don't know what.
Again, I suggest we hold it till next month. I will talk to Dane. I'll figure out what's going on.
Okay. I think we need to get to
that. Yeah, because like I said, they say one thing and then another's happening. You don't know what you're
doing. All right. So.
We done it some way based on.
I don't know.
I think there's just a big misunderstanding. I would have imagined that if they were undoing this application, that there would have been notification for you, and they would have had to have re-noticed it for our sake,
right,
as
and
well.
I've been talking to Dane and his supervisor throughout this process, and so he's like, he would have. We'll gotta figure out.
Yeah, it's waiting a month is not going to be a big deal.
Yes, no, I agree.
So
I
just make sure, we got to make sure that we've got.
And I want you to understand as well, because what your understanding is and what staff is saying here could not be different. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Jared, did you have.
I just don't know. What's, like, when they want her to, like, review what's already been done? What's the.
You know, it's, I don't know what Planning Commission, based on our recommendation, would do. Staff is essentially recommending denial of the waivers. There's three waivers that are being asked. We recommend to the commission what we think based on adjacent neighbors and or, you know, basically what the village kind of thinks, per se. But ultimately, they would make the decision, and I would guess if it was denied, that there would be the possibility she'd have to remove it. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think their denial also comes in with, you know, they don't know if it was built. I don't know if it's over laterals. There's sewer, water, so it's, you know, when you don't pull a permit and build something, there's a lot that could be, and then just aesthetic appeal. So
we would have to be overriding staff recommendation, which is
if
not,
you went for approval.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we did approval, I mean, that's not very.
You're completely separate from staff.
Yeah, of course. But we do, but we do look at staff recommendation. So.
The other side of what you were saying, I just spoke to Gay, and he said that. I said, what would happen if we were. And he said, well, then we have to the building department to come in and.
Because that
certified,
right? Because that was going to be my next question. Because she has to get through the waiver aspect, but then I think the building department is going to have to come and see if it's
right.
Properly.
Okay.
Yeah. It seems odd to me that a county staff person would say on something that didn't have permits that you could put a vehicle. It would seem like there's a liability there. I mean, it's I would think unsafe structure since it didn't have the permits, you know. And so what Dane possibly had said just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, based on the notes, it seemed like what staff was recommending is rather than you call it a garage, you could, it would be easier for them, I guess, if you weren't parking a garage in it, if you termed it something different. But again, then there's the legality of like, who's here to enforce whether you put your car in it or not. I mean,
okay, that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Then I start parking. And then the last time I was in here, I said I was on the agenda. I went to my home down there. So when I was told, yes, it's a new ordinance, you can park in it, and I took it 8 times. I could park my car in it, and he said yes. And his supervisor said yes, and he said yes. Okay, not even parking it. I was using it as a storage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was just going to use it as storage then. So that's the information I got.
Regardless if it's storage or garage, I don't think a zero setback is approvable. So
let's just wait for clarification.
Yeah. So we need a monthly hold then.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, maybe the other thing is that the alleyway that attached where the big wall is, and then it's right there. Does the NV Energy or anybody have right of way within that alleyway? That's something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I went to look at it before I got here, and so that. Oh, I was down there. I was down there just before. I wanted to see what everything looked like. So. But
it was usually they put one metal thing on each beam, on every single beam is metal. It was built, it's quality, it's not.
Yeah, well, that'll be up to the building.
Which is the first place, they did send me down to the building thing, and they said, oh yeah, we don't have a problem with it. So, that's all right, I don't know, you know.
Well, we'll talk about it next month. So.
Yeah.
Call the question.
Okay, so it looks like it would be held until...
We have another one.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Thought you meant another neat thing tonight. I'm like, no, we only have one today. Don't be freaking me out. Okay, May 29th, yeah. This is the special month. Get to see me twice. So we'll hold it until May 29th, and then the Planning Commission will be after that.
And this is what I've been planning
on. Yeah.
Okay. So they send out another notice to people. It's just
so
one notice.
If there's a substantial change to the
notice.
Okay, a substantial change. Okay.
Did anybody get a card?
So we.
No. You got cards. Okay.
Yeah. What's the radius on the notification?
500 feet. Okay,
so that was unanimous, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thank you. We'll see you next month.
Okay.
And general business, we don't have any. So comments by general public about matters relevant to this council's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken. Comments limited to 3 minutes. Step up to the speaker's podium, give us your name, etc. Do we have anybody doing that this evening? No? No? Yeah. Somehow, Dwight, I thought you were going to do something like that. No? Okay. Okay, I guess the next meeting date is May 29th of this year, and I hereby adjourn this meeting.
All right, thank you.
Did you see this handwritten stuff that you submitted? I didn't see it in that.
It's on the very last
page. That was really a confusing thing.